My guest today is New York Times best-selling author Max Brooks. He has written both The Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, an oral history of the zombie war, which was made into a major motion picture starring Brad Pitt. Brooks now presents The Extinction Parade, a graphic novel that focuses on two sisters living in Malaysia who happen to be vampires. The sisters, Min and Layla, have lived through centuries of human civilization and its various challenges. But now, they find themselves faced with something entirely new, the zombie apocalypse. And this changes everything about their existence. Max, thanks for being on Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Since the writing of The Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, you've kind of become a contemporary know-it-all about all things zombie. What led you to write a story that expanded the universe to include vampires, and why did you end up making the vampires sisters?
Well, I think my wife would agree with you about the whole know-it-all thing. But the truth is, I'm just answering my own questions. I wrote Zombie Survival Guide because I was just wondering how an individual person would survive a zombie plague. And I wrote World War Z because I was wondering how would countries survive a zombie plague. And with Extinction Parade, I have always wondered about the vampire species and how would they survive? Because all my life, vampires have been worshipped by people. Everybody thinks they're sort of a super race with superpowers. But to me, it's those physical powers that makes them mentally and emotionally weak, makes them arrogant, makes them lazy, makes them incurious. It's like if you have two kids and one kid has to struggle in his childhood or her childhood, that makes for a much more resilient adult. Whereas the kid who has had everything handed to them, they are not ready for what's coming their way. So for me, it's really an exploration of what happens when a whole species has had it too good for too long. I made it sisters because I always enjoy the dynamics of these two sisters. Being an only child, siblings always fascinate me. And too often I see sort of the childlike sibling and the caretaker sibling. And that's why I made it two sisters.
What is it about Malaysia that led you to make that sort of the focus setting of the story?
I wanted a country that has gone through rapid economic change because also, for me, these vampires are immortals. So for them, change is not a friend. They blink and suddenly everything has changed. And so I wanted these vampires to really feel the squeeze of an industrialized first world society, because that's Malaysia. In 50 years, they've gone from third world to first world. And I wanted the vampires to really recoil at that notion.
I see a lot of things in The Extinction Parade that have a strong sense of continuity with, in particular, World War Z, but your other writing. In particular, I'm thinking about something you mentioned very early on, and that is the zombies' ability to traverse large bodies of water.
Well, you know, for me, the zombies in all my books are the same zombies. World War Z and Extinction Parade are not in the same universe, but there's no reason they couldn't be. I don't want my rules to contradict each other. And I've always imagined that zombies, they don't swim, but they can walk underwater. So if they can do that in Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, why wouldn't they do that in the Extinction Parade?
With World War Z, you really provided a large global perspective on the zombie apocalypse. So often we're given a small collection of individuals who are struggling to survive in a certain location. But in The Extinction Parade, you talk about Paris and Mexico City and St. Petersburg, so it really is a worldwide calamity.
In Zombie Survival Guide, I wanted to make it very local, very small. World War Z, I want to make it very global. But in Extinction Parade, I wanted to make it a global problem, but which is completely shut out by the vampires. In my story, the vampires are self-obsessed. And like I said, they're incurious. They don't care about what's happening around them. So therefore, St. Petersburg and Paris and Mexico City are burning, and they're still having a party.
Right. And then the story arc goes from the sisters going from your, like you said, the more traditional vampire living on sort of the outskirts of society to suddenly being able to feed at will. And they go off on this these binges of gluttony. But then later on, they find that the zombies are now sort of competing for the food chain.
And that's exactly right. The vampires are very, ironically being immortal, they're still very short-sighted. And they love that there's a zombie plague because it creates chaos. And in that chaos, they can hunt at will. And they essentially can have a carnival of blood. And it's only later that they come to the inconvenient truth that this, we're not talking about the end of human civilization. We're talking about the end of humanity. And once the food source is dead, they're next.
Well, and another thing that you show very well is that even the immortal vampires aren't impervious to this virus that is in the zombie's body.
No, they can't feed on zombies, and if they get too much zombie blood in them, it is toxic. So even though vampires can heal physically very quickly, they can reach a tipping point where they can be poisoned.
Comic books were sort of a very integral part of your development as an early reader.
Yeah, I grew up with dyslexia, which is a learning disability, and it really gets in the way of you learning how to read. And I think had it not been for Rom the Space Knight, I might not have learned to read, or I certainly wouldn't have learned to read as early as I did. Comic books made reading interesting and fun, and I'll always enjoy them for that reason.
And how did you end up teaming up with Rulo Caceres as an artist for this work?
He was part of a packet of other artists that were given to me by Avatar Comics. So I went down the line, I looked at all the different ones, and I liked Rallo the best because he has the best attention to detail, which is what I need for something like this. Because in this story, the vampires start out sort of young and hot and voluptuous and sexy, but trust me, as starvation sets in, they ain't going to look so good.
I'm very curious to see what happens in the subsequent books. Speaking of books, I'm very curious, what is it that you read?
Oh, God, I read sort of whatever interests me. Unfortunately, I don't get as much time to read fiction as I would like because so much of what I write comes with so much research attached. So I just have to plow through just volumes of nonfiction reference books. And, you know, being dyslexic, it makes it even harder. So I would love to get to a point where I could just have a novel by my bed every night. But unfortunately, I have too many technical schematics I have to go over.
Well, you've conquered novels. You've conquered now comic books. Your book has been made into a major motion picture. What could possibly be next for you?
Well, I don't think it's about the genre or about the medium as much as it is the story. Whatever story comes my way, I have to. I will dive in. I mean, for example, I have a graphic novel, The Harlem Hellfighters, true story, World War I, came out in April. Will Smith's company picked up the movie rights, and so I'm now deep in writing the first draft of the screenplay for them.
Max, I want to thank you very much for taking your time to be a part of Around Cincinnati, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. You too.
My guest tonight has been Max Brooks, author of the graphic novel The Extinction Parade. For links to more information about The Extinction Parade, including a few pictures from inside the graphic novel, please visit us at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jim Nolan.